My name is Kelly Connolly, and I am with WRKF.
Yes, my name is Jim Richardson, and I'm a professor of economics and director of Public Administration Institute at LSU.
Okay, that's great.
I think with respect to the governor's plan, we know a part of it, and that is the good part, and that is the fact, okay, we will eliminate the personal income tax and the corporate income and franchise taxes.
And the governor's proposed that this will spur some economic growth here in Louisiana.
Well, but again, that is, I don't think you can make that statement until you also know the other side of the plan, too. And that is, he's also said in his plan that this is revenue neutral. This is not a tax cut. It is a tax reordering, a shifting of the burden. I will not pay on the income I earn, but I may pay on something else I do, such as buy goods and services. Or someone who has not paid before, I hear that they talked about maybe upping the tax on smokers. If we do away with the income tax and the corporate taxes, you're eliminating just over $3 billion in state revenue. And in fact, if you keep some other of the current exemptions and credits that we have, you really are eliminating about $3.5 to $3.6 billion of state revenue. That's what you have to make up. And how do you make that up? Well, if you make it up with purely sales taxes, say increasing the rate, you're talking about doubling the rate. You make it up by raising the rate and or expanding the base. But all of those things have negatives. If you just don't go on the rate alone, you're talking about doubling it at least. And that's an extra four pennies. And that, remember, the local tax is there too. So that means going from right now in Baton Rouge, you pay 9%. That means you're going to go to 13%. And you might say, okay, you go buy a loaf of bread. Oh, so what? But go buy a new car. Go buy a new refrigerator. Go buy expensive jewelry. Go buy something that has relatively high prices attached to them. Then suddenly you'll notice it, you'll see it. And that may lead people or encourage people to say, well, I can buy this different ways. I can buy my clothes online. Now, technically, you're supposed to pay a sales tax on that, but you may not. It's hard to enforce. You can't buy your car like that. It will be at your address. However, I would anticipate the car dealers will certainly work hard to be exempted from this tax increase because it will be noticeable. An extra 3 or 4% on a $30,000 car, that's money. I don't know if they'll be successful or not, but I can assure you they'll try. And if you buy a piece of expensive jewelry from a jewelry store in New Orleans, a local company, I'm trying to think of the name now, are in Shreveport or in Baton Rouge. You buy Clark's in Shreveport. You buy Lee Michaels here in Baton Rouge. Then you have a, that's real money. And you start looking at, wait a minute, I mean, I buy as much. I may reduce what I buy. So, there are a lot of ways we can try to get around this. And if the rate is high, that's what we do as people. We'll think about how to get around it. Mm-hmm. That's how we count. That's mm-hmm. how we think.
Are there are examples of other states that don't have an income tax, like Texas, for example?
We should say there are a few examples.
There are a few examples.
Most states have income tax.
Right.
Texas does not. Florida does not. Now, that puts us in a bad advantage because certainly those are two nearby states. But you can also go to the Northwest. Washington does not have an income tax. Oregon does. Oregon doesn't have a sales tax. Washington does. The other thing you have to know is that when you compare taxes, if you go to Texas, they have a much higher property tax than we do. Much higher, but they also have a different set of different ways government work. The local governments pay a lot more for local services than we do, than the Louisiana local governments do. So you have a lot more state support. People just come to a state because of low taxes. They also expect public services. And that may be roads. It may be safety. It may be appropriate treatment of waste materials. It may be education, public education. It may be higher education. Maybe health care. It could be a number of things that states typically do that they don't expect those services to be non-existent or inferior.
Mm-hmm. And so if we get rid of the income tax and don't replace it with these things, it's likely that these services will decline.
Well, it's 3.1 to $3.6 billion. You cannot, they cannot have public services. LSU cannot run unless it has money. And that money partly comes from the state. Or we decide to charge our students a lot more than we're charging right now. Mm-hmm. It might be a better way. We can argue, we can debate that all we want. But that's what it amounts to. It is, if you want the public services, you'll pay for them in some form or fashion.
Right. It's more about paying for services that you use rather than paying the government to allocate.
In that case, one could argue it's much better for, say, students should pay your own way, not depend on a tax, and then if you don't want it, don't buy it.
So if getting rid of corporate income tax is to spur more corporations to come here, is there a history of that working in Texas, Florida, and Washington?
Remember, Texas has a corporate tax. It's a little bit more complicated. It's not an income tax. It's a margins tax. Texas has a corporate tax. You have corporate taxes, so you have business taxes. What Texas does not have is a personal income tax. They have a corporate tax, but not a corporate income tax. So it's, again, it's disguised to a certain extent. There's no doubt that if you look at what the governor said, that the one tax that does stand out as being a little bit out of kilter with other states is our corporate tax rate at 8%. There's a way to, you can lower that rate, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, by taking away some of their certain deductions, exemptions that we've built into the system. And you can lower that rate, which is undoubtedly, there's no doubt that rate becomes a certain eyesore for companies that may be looking to invest here. If they look in and they say, oh my gosh, your corporate tax rate's 8% at the margin. But I think we could easily get that rate down to 5%, which would be much more competitive if we take away certain exemptions, certain deductions, and we don't then have it's not a wholesale change in the tax system, but we're tinkering with it. It's not nearly as good press. It's not as much of a bomb being thrown. It doesn't get you quite as much discussion, but I think in the end, it's a very good, it could be good tax policy.
Hmm. Okay. Do you think that raising property taxes here is an option instead of raising the sales tax?
I don't think it's an option from the perspective of the general administration, because it's a constitutional issue. You have to persuade the people to do this. And I think they're reluctant to take that tack. And also, if you did it, you're talking about a big millage. You're talking about a big rate.
Some news sources have noted that this shift from income to sales tax is likely to put a more heavy burden on low-income families. Could you kind of clarify that for me?
Given the current sales tax structure that we have, certain things are exempted: food, drugs, and residential utilities, constitutionally. So in that sense, you protect people who have to pay, but you protect everybody, the low-income people, the middle-income people, and the high-income people who are buying those particular commodities. So in that sense, they are protected to begin with. But low-income people have to buy T-shirts, socks, blue jeans. They have to buy over-the-counter drugs, aspirin, Bengay, things like that. Those are taxable. They will probably spend more of their income on that than a higher income person will, for sure. So that means a larger part of their income will be subject to tax, or a larger part of their purchases will be taxable than, say, someone who is a much higher income person. So in that sense, yes, there is a regressivity that is built into it. Now, I believe the General Administration are very honest when they say they want to protect those people as much as they can. But if we try to protect the people, that is, you try to give them a tax rebate, or you got to try to make it up some other way, that's a cost, which means that to get the money you want, you got to raise the rate more, which may cause other complications. So as a practical matter, given the current system, yes, it does become more regressive. As a political matter, as they try to correct that regressivity, they'll have other problems that you cause by making the rates even higher, which causes you and me even more reason to look around, how do we avoid the tax?
In Gentle's statement, he's commented that the tax code as it is now, which I don't know much about, is complex, and that this is an effort to de-complexify the tax code. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it will become more simple the way you talk about having to put in barriers so that it's not as regressive? Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll simplify it?
Well, I think that statement by itself is kind of a broad political statement, and I think there are a couple of pieces of, yes, it's right in one area, but it's not really right in another area. For example, the personal income tax is not that complicated. It's simple. It's one-page type of tax system. Once you've done your federal tax returns, the state tax return is a cinch. It's no big deal. In terms of complexity. Now, in terms of the corporate income tax and franchise tax, that is more complex. And that does have more complications to it. And eliminating it will ease a lot of burdens on larger companies, corporate companies. So that's correct at that point. But again, you don't know what you're getting into on the other side of what's being increased. So there are other taxes. And on the sales tax, if you start adding these conditions or these other little parameters, okay, to protect people, then you add complications and complexity again, now to a group of people who may have a hard time dealing with it. How do I get this rebate, or how do I do this? And obviously, they can learn very quickly, but there'll be H&R blocks will sprout up all over the place to help you out. All for a fee, of course.
Would you recommend keeping the tax codes as they are now? Do you think that reform is necessary?
I think some change is necessary. I think, yes, I think the income tax, personal income tax, needs to be improved at the margin. It can be done. We can get the top rate, the top marginal rate is now 6%. We can easily get that down to 4% by doing away with some of the exemptions we now build into the tax income tax system, make it a much lower rate, very, very competitive with all the other states that have income taxes, except, again, with Texas and Florida. We aren't going to be better than zero. We can't do that. So, yeah, no, there are certainly ways to reform the system. I don't think we need to throw out a tax. I think we need to tweak. So that side, the sales tax side, is not complicated when you go to the supermarket or you go to the drugstore or you go to the retail place and buy you a pair of shoes. It's very simple for you. But when you get behind the scenes for the companies that you have out there, it gets much more complicated. Even for your grocery store, you go to their registers have to be computerized because some of the things you buy there, like, say, paper towels, fully taxable. But other things you buy, like your vegetables, no tax at the state level. But at the local level, there is a tax. So they have to have this machine all computerized so that it sees this number, the screen of, okay, your bananas, it knows, okay, zero sales tax for the state, but for the city of Baton Rouge and the school boards, then it may only be 4%, or it may be 3.5%, or whatever it happens to be. And then you go and you buy something else. You buy, for example, you go to a store and you buy something is prepared to eat from their little deli. That's taxable. But if you buy a can of corn to take home to warm, or a can of Amy soup, that's not taxable. So it's the system is complicated. Yes, behind the scenes, not on the front line, as you as a consumer are.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that we could decomplicate the system and remain revenue neutral without having to completely get rid of the income tax.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. I think that would be a very, very good move to do, yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add on the topic?
No. Just see what you can do. If you have any questions, give me a buzz.